Good afternoon, and welcome to our weekly Shia on Halacha here in the Chutz Chesed Yeshiva in Yerushalayim. My name is Rabbi Elchanan Elgod. We'd like to welcome our viewers on the internet and the rest of Israel. Today we are going to be speaking about preparation for the fast day, which is going to be, may Hashem help us that it wouldn't be, but the fast day that is supposed to be next Tuesday, Yudzayim B'Tammuz. The Novi says, Zechariah Novi says in the 8th chapter, in the 19th verse, he says, Ko amar Hashem Tzevakot. This is what Hashem says. Tomar Revi'i, the fourth fast. Fourth fast refers to Yudzayim B'Tammuz because we start counting the months from the month of Nisan. So if we take the month of Nisan as the first month, Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Tammuz. Tammuz is the fourth month. Tomar Revi'i, which is referring to Shivasa B'Tammuz, Tomar Chamishi, the fifth fast on the fifth month, which is referring to Tisha B'Av, V'Tzom HaShevi'i on the 7th month, referring to Tzom Gedalia. V'Tzom HaAsiri on the 10th month, referring to Asar B'Teves. These fasts, what is going to happen to them? Tzom HaRevi'i, V'Tzom HaChamishi, V'Tzom HaShevi'i, V'Tzom HaAsiri. Yeh Levet Yehuda Lesason Ulesimcha Ulmoadim Tovim. These days will turn into days of great joy and happiness, into festive days. V'Haimet V'Hashalom Ehavu. But, the verse ends, that is only in condition if we actually love the virtues of truth and love. We have love and kinship between each other. And only then, if we're united, will those fasts eventually be cancelled and will they become festive days. So Be'ezras Hashem, this Shia is only halacha and not lemaisa, because as we're praying today, Mashiach is going to come and those days are going to become days of joy and days of festivity. But if we do not have the zechut for that, we still have to be prepared what to do if Mashiach doesn't come by Tuesday, and we will have to fast on Shivasa B'Tammuz. This shiur is dedicated to the success of all of our soldiers, and of all the police forces, and all the other kohot ha-bitachon, all of our security forces, and all the citizens down there south who are suffering on a daily basis from what's happening. May Hashem give them strength. May Hashem show us great miracles. May we see the pasuk in Parshas Beshalach, in the 14th chapter of Shmos, Hashem ilachem lachem ve'atem tacharishun. Hashem shall fight for you and you shall be silent. The Rav, Rosh Yeshiva Shlita, said in one of his shiurim that he was constantly praying to Hashem and debating, how is Hashem going to get rid of all those Arabs living here in Eretz Yisrael? How are we going to do it? Of course Hashem can do everything, he's all powerful, but how can he do it? And now we have the solution. We are hoping that they're going to fire many missiles, and Be'ezras Hashem, we are praying that those missiles are going to hit Yerushalayim, but not in the Jewish side, on the Arab side. May they hit very overpopulated places. May they take as many Arabs as possible so that the world should see Hashem yilachem lachem ve'atem tacharishun, that Hashem is fighting for us. The missiles that they are shooting, not only are they not affecting Jews, but they're killing their own people. And Be'ezras Hashem, great miracles and great miracles and great gratitude we shall see from whatever's happening here today. Hashem yirachem lachem. Hashem shall fight for us, and you shall be silent. We are not supposed to fight now. Hashem is going to do the melacha for us. The fast of Shivasa B'Tammuz, the Mishnah says in Masechet Tanis, on the 4th chapter, the Mishnah says that 5 terrible things happened on the day of Shivasa B'Tammuz over the generations, and that is why we fast on this day. The first thing is, says the Mishnah says, is that when Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Mount Sinai and he saw that Am Yisrael was sinning, Moshe Rabbeinu broke the Luchot. He broke Luchos Habris, which is the first Luchos he got in Shamayim. He broke them on Shivasa B'Tammuz. Now imagine the devastating scenario of seeing Moshe Rabbeinu walking down Har Sinai after being there for 40 days and 40 nights with Hashem, getting the Torah, bringing down Luchot Habris for Am Yisrael and seeing that they sinned, throwing them down to the ground and breaking and smashing them. That was considered to be a devastating scenario, one of the terrible things that happened on Shivasa B'Tammuz. The second thing, says the Mishnah, is that in the first temple, that was the day where Korban HaTzamid, which is a sacrifice which we sacrifice every single day, whether it's a weekday, whether it's a Shabbos, whether it's a Yom Tov, whether it's Yom Kippur, whether it's Rosh Hashanah, that was the first time, that was the date where Am Yisrael stopped sacrificing Korban HaTzamid. That was also something devastating that never ever happened. The third thing, says the Mishnah, is that in the second temple, the walls of Yerushalayim were breached. That was the day when the Romans managed to breach the outer walls, and actually the inner walls. There were two walls to Yerushalayim. They breached the walls and they started entering Yerushalayim, pillaging everything, killing everyone who they could see, and eventually reaching Beis HaMikdash. It took them 3 weeks, and as we know, on Tisha B'Av was the day where they managed to actually break into Beis HaMikdash, and without great sins, they destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. May we see soon the third temple being rebuilt with all its glory and grandeur. May we see the Shekhinah of Hashem come and be here in Yerushalayim. Mamash next us. The fourth thing, says the Mishnah, is that on that day there was a very evil warlord who, according to some, was a Greek warlord in the first temple. According to others, was a Roman warlord in the second temple. His name was Apostumus. And Apostumus burnt the Torah. He took out the holy scrolls of the Torah, and he lit a big bonfire, and he burnt the Torah. Now that is something devastating. We know that such a thing happened approximately 800 years ago, 750, in the times of the Maharam of Rotenburg, who was the Rav of the Rosh. And he wrote a special kina, a special prayer lamentation that we say every single year on Tisha B'Av, remembering the burning of the Sifrei Torah that happened in his generation. So too, when Apostumus burnt the Torah, that also was a devastating scenario that we fast for it till today. The fifth thing, the Mishnah says, is that in the second temple, or according to some in the first temple, and again, Apostumus, he put a statue in the Beis HaMikdash, a statue of Avodah Zorah. Now imagine if someone here managed to chas v'chalila overtake this holy yeshiva and put here a cross in front of the Aron Kodesh. It's devastating. That was devastating. In the Beis HaMikdash, he built and he put in a statue of Avodah Zorah. So all those five things happened on Shavuot Sabbath Tammuz. That's why we fast. So that was just the introduction to why we fast on Shavuot Sabbath Tammuz. Now let's start going into all the different halachas. When does the fast actually start? The fast actually starts in the morning in Alois HaShachar. Now, Alois HaShachar, there are two different opinions in halacha when that is. According to some, and that is how most Sfaradi Poskim Paskim, according to some, it is 72 minutes before the Nates. This year, in Yerushalayim, it's going to be at 4:19 a.m. That's when the fast starts, which means if you wake up at 3:30, you're allowed to eat and drink. We're going to speak about it soon. How are you allowed to eat and drink until 4:19? But at 4:19, the fast starts. According to others, and this is mostly how Rabbi Chil Michal Tokuchinsky, who was the poskim in Yerushalayim, and Rabbi Mordechai Eliezer Tzadik Lebracha Paskin, the fast starts 90 minutes before the Nates, which is 3:56. Now, the Minhag Breslev, I asked the Rav about this, what is the Minhag Breslev? We hold by 72 minutes. We do not hold by 90 minutes. Which means that for us, the fast starts at 4:19 a.m. Even though the fast starts only in the morning, and we do not fast the night, that in the Shiva Sabbath, which means we will fast from Tuesday morning 4:19, we won't fast the night between Monday and Tuesday, nevertheless, that is still considered to be a night of a fast. The Amin Hagim in Am Yisrael, we know that on fast day we add a special prayer called Aneinu in the Shmoneh Esrei. There are some congregations in Am Yisrael that say Aneinu even on the Maariv of Shivat Sabbath Tammuz, even though they're not fasting, because the day itself is still a fast day. Therefore, on the night between Monday and Tuesday, even though we're not fasting, there are some stipulations. Number one, we should try and refrain from eating meat and drinking wine. It is still a fast day, even though we're not fasting, but the day itself, we know that in the Jewish calendar, the Hebrew date always starts from the night followed by the morning. The Torah tells us, Vayi'erev, Vayivoker, Yom Echad. It was night, then it was morning, and that's one day, which is very different from the Gregorian, or from the Christian, or more common calendar the rest of the world use, where the night is followed by the day, while in Yiddishkeit, the day is followed by the night. We start from the night, all the other nations around the world start from the day. That's why you'll notice that our watches, when the date changes, in that little window in the watch, it always takes place 12 o'clock p.m., which is 00, then the date changes. So even though the fast day, as we said, in the Jewish calendar, the night before Shivat Sabbath Tammuz, which is between Tuesday and between Monday and Tuesday, even though we're not fasting, refrain from eating meat and drinking wine, refrain from having a haircut. Now this has got nothing to do with the 3 weeks. Even on the night before the fast of Asar B'Tevis, or the night before the fast of Tzom Gedalia, we should not eat meat, we should not drink wine, we should not have a haircut, because it is considered to be a fast day. Who is supposed to fast? The answer is, everyone needs to fast. We're soon going to speak about who is exempt from fasting. But why am I saying everyone? There is a halachic question asked. People who serve in what is called a rabbinical or a spiritual, they have a spiritual profession, which is called in Hebrew Klei Kodesh, which means the vessels of holiness. For example, the people who are melamzim, rebbes, who teach our children Talmud Torah, a person who is a shoychet, a person who is a rov, a person who is a chazan. There's a big question, are these people allowed to fast in extra fasts that people accept upon themselves? For example, we know that some have the minag of fasting during the days of Slichas. Some have a minag of fasting every single Erev of Yom Kippur. Some have a minag of fasting on the yahrzeit sites when their parents passed away. Others have a minag of fasting on the days of Shoivavim. All the people who are Klei Kodesh, who are vessels of Kedusha, who work in a spiritual profession, are not allowed to fast in all these extra added fasts. And the reason is because it might affect their work. And since their work is not just a mundane, everyday thing, but it is considered to be a holy profession, they're teaching our children in the Talmud Torah, they're teaching people in yeshivas, they're shoichtim, they're sofrei stam. Since this can affect their job, they are not allowed to fast on all those extra added fasts. But on the fast day that Chazal decided that are supposed to be something which are unanimous and public to all of Am Yisrael, like for example, Tisha B'Av, Yom Kippur, Tzom Gedalia, Asar B'Tevis, Yudzayin B'Tammuz, and Tanis Esther, there's no exemption. Even a person who sits and teaches all day long, who teaches in the Talmud Torah, has to fast on that day. That's why, in Talmud Torah, school always finishes earlier on a fast day, because it's very difficult for a Rebbe to control a class of 25, 30 kids and to be fasting himself. So that's why we always have the Talmud Torah finishing earlier to accommodate with the Rebbe's needs. Who is exempt from the fast? Now we get into the interesting questions. There are many shitas and many opinions who is exempt from fasting. I'm going to tell you what I have learned from my rabbis, and this is how I pasken here in Yeshiva. There are people who disagree with me, there are people who dispute, but again, I'm saying this is my opinion. Any person who doesn't agree with it can go and ask his own rov and get an own child. Any woman who is pregnant, it's irrelevant whether this is the first week of pregnancy and she just now discovered that she's pregnant, is not only exempt from fasting, she is not allowed to fast. Why? Because research has shown that when women fast, there is an increase in the chances of her having an abortion. And since this fast is only a fast from Drabonim, and this is not a fast from Doraisa, a woman who is pregnant does not fast. A woman who is nursing doesn't fast. Even a woman who is not actually nursing, but she is 24 months after, she's in the period of the 2 years after giving birth, if she feels extremely weak, she's exempt from fasting. That's what Rabbi Ovadia paskens. Why? The answer is like this. The Gemara says in Tractate Nida, on the 9th page, first side, the Gemara says that a woman is considered to be a meineket. She has the classification, halachic classification, of being called a nursing woman 24 months after giving birth, irrelevant to whether she is nursing or she isn't nursing. Therefore, even though we try to be machmir, we say that at least a woman who is nursing is obviously, she's practically nursing, she does not have to fast. Not only she does not have to fast, she's not allowed to fast. But a woman who is in those 24 months and she is feeling a bit weak and it's difficult for her, she is exempt from fasting, because that's what Rabbi paskens, since there are poskim that say that in all those 24 months, since she has the halachic classification of a nursing woman, she doesn't have to fast. More so, a bigger chiddush. Any woman who finds it difficult to fast, especially here in Yerushalayim, is exempt of these small fasts. Wasn't that shocking? Why? The answer is, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, he brings it in his book, Halichos Shloimon, on the Taniyot. It's brought there in the 13th chapter, in the 16th comment. It appears on page 401. The Tlemes Zaman Obach testifies that in Yerushalayim, the custom of the Yerushalmi women was, Yerushalmi women never ever fasted on the small fasts. They only fasted on Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. And I actually inquired about it, and till today, the Yerushalmi, that is the minhag that they hold. They're women, irrelevant to how old they are, irrelevant to whether they're nursing or whether they're pregnant or anything else. Women do not fast except for Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av. Now, even though we do not hold that way, lekatchila, we say to women, yes, you should try and fast. A woman who finds it difficult to fast, especially if she lives here in Yerushalayim, she can count on the psik of Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, and she can say, I'm in Yerushalayim, that's a custom of Yerushalayim, I'm exempt of fasting. So if you see that your wives, or your sisters, or your mothers, they find it difficult to fast, tell them this psik of Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, tell them that Rav Elchanan said in the yeshiva, that there is something to count on, they can be so mechon Rav Shlomo Zalman, and they do not have to fast. A person who is sick is not allowed to fast. Now, what is the classification of a person sick? Obviously, any person who's taking antibiotics, any person who is on medication on a regular basis, which he needs it, which is what's called life-saving medication. For example, people with diabetes, people that have certain chronic diseases, and they have got to take medicines on a daily basis, and those medicines require for them to eat and to drink, they are not allowed to fast. People who are not so certain whether they fit this category or not, should now, don't wait till the day of the fast, call the doctor that's dealing with you, speak to him and ask him, doctor, you know that I have a situation ABC, I take these and these medications, should I fast on this coming Yudzayim B'Tammuz or not? And if the doctor says no, you call the Rav, and the Rav will say, therefore you do not have to fast. A person who started fasting, and during the fast has become so weak that he is unable to stand, he feels that he has to sit, or he has to lie down, that moment he is considered to be a choyle she'en bo sakona, a person who is sick, but is not considered to be a dangerous illness, and he is exempt of fasting. He can drink and he can eat. And even though he's exempt of fasting, there are some people who would like to be heroes, and to say, no, I know I'm exempt of fasting, but I still want to fast. The Yerushalmi says, a person who is exempt of something, and does it nonetheless, is considered to be a simpleton. Because the Torah specifies when there are things that you have to do and when there are things that you shouldn't do. And if you think that you're being a hero by trying and fasting, nonetheless, that's not what the Torah wants. The Torah wants you to know that when you're sick, when you have reached a situation that you're unable to stand or sit during a fasting, you are exempt of fasting. Young children, obviously, are not supposed to fast on Shiva Asar B'Tammuz. Now, if the child is 11, 12, and he feels that he's strong enough and he wants to start fasting for a couple of hours, let him. But there's no reason for him to train him to fast a whole fast day. Especially since in 3 weeks' time, if let's say, for example, he's 12 years old, and next year is going to be Bar Mitzvah, in 12 years' time, there's also going to be Tisha B'Av. In 3 weeks' time, there's going to be Tisha B'Av. So you can train him for Tisha B'Av for a couple of hours. Don't worry, when he turns 13, he's going to have to fast whether he wants it or whether he doesn't. Unless the rabbi says that he doesn't have to fast. So there's no reason for young children to try and fast if they're unable to do that. Elderly people who find it difficult to fast are exempt of this fast of Shiva Asar B'Tammuz. Now, even though we've just now given you a whole list of people who do not have to fast, there are certain stipulations and certain rules about how you're allowed to eat on the fast day. Rule number one, you're not allowed to have delicacies on the fast day. It's not the time to go out and buy a whole big can of Ben & Jerry's chocolate flavor, whatever other flavor that's mahadrin, and eat it on a fast day, unless you need it for medical reasons. For example, someone that had his tonsils removed, and the doctor said, have a lot of ice cream because it's good for you. It's good for you. By the way, medically clear, and medically the reason that they're told to eat ice cream is because it freezes the nerve ends and it helps the healing process. So a person like that is allowed to eat ice cream on Shiva Asar B'Tammuz. Any other people, don't go buy Ben & Jerry's on Shiva Asar B'Tammuz. You can eat good food that gives you the nutrition that you need, healthy food. You're allowed to eat whatever you want, but it's not the time to nash. It's the time to eat. Stipulation number two, do not eat in public. People do not know your medical situation. When people see you eating in public, they might think that you are disrespecting the fast, that you are not upkeeping the halacha, and it might be a chilul Hashem. Now, this is very important to tell women who are exempt of fasting, because women tend to do this a lot, even though they don't realize. Why? Scenario. The mother, who is now pregnant, or is nursing, or she feels a bit weak, and she wants to be so mechon, Yerushalayim Zalman Oibach, that says that Yerushalayim women don't fast, she's now taking her children out to the park on Shivasa the Tammuz, because they need to do something. There's no Talmud Torah, there's no school. She brings, for the children, a bowl of some fruit, some vegetables, a bottle of water, while they're playing. Many times, without even noticing, since she knows that she's not to fast, since she knows she doesn't have to fast, she herself will take a piece of fruit, she will therefore take a sip of water in public in the park. She's not intending to eat, it's just something natural. She does it every single day when she goes out with the kids. Why shouldn't she do it now on Shivasa Batamuz? No. On Shivasa Batamuz, she's got to try and not to eat in public. Why? Because people don't know why she's exempt of fasting. People might think she's disrespecting halacha. Eat and drink before you go out, and eat and drink when you go back. If she's feeling so weak she has to have a cup of water, obviously she can drink. Otherwise, she's not allowed to drink. She has to wait till she comes home. What happens to a person who went to bed on the night of the fast, and he woke up? We said that the fast starts at 4:19. You woke up at 3:30. Are you allowed to eat? The Shulchan Aruch Paskens in Siman Tzavkuf Samech Dalit, which is 564, the 564th chapter of Aruch Chaim, the Shulchan Aruch Paskens that you have to make a condition, a tnai, before you go to bed, saying that when you're going to wake up, you are allowed to eat. If you don't make that condition, you're in a big problem. Because if you're Sfari, problem, according to Shulchan Aruch, you're not allowed to eat or drink. If you're Ashkenazi, you're allowed to drink. Now, in order to evade that problem, I'm going to say the condition out loud. I want you all to listen, and also all the people listening to us on the internet. And you should all have the intention to be yoytze with what I am saying. Okay? And this is the condition. I am now making a condition that on the night between Monday and Tuesday, if I wake up before Alot HaShachar, before 4:19, I am allowed to drink, and I am allowed to eat until the fast starts at 4:19 a.m. Now we've all said it, so now we're all going to be able to eat. Many people, for example, there are people who love drinking coffee and who have an addiction to coffee. And if they don't have their cup of coffee in the morning, they'll have a severe headache. So what they do is they set their alarm clock to 15 minutes before the fast starts. They wake up, they make themselves a cup of coffee, have a good strong coffee, and then they go back to bed again. They want to go to sleep. So anyone wants to do it, now we've made this condition, you're allowed to do it, there's no problem with it. Next halacha. Are you allowed to wash your mouth on the fast day? This is a question that happens every single fast day. People ask, am I allowed to brush our teeth? Our world, Baruch Hashem, has evolved from being 500 years ago a very stinky and unkempt and disheveled place to a more proper and refined and nicer smelling place to live in. Anyone who lived in a small shtetl approximately 200 years ago where the sewer was running in the streets would understand exactly what I'm talking about. We don't suffer from that. And when the sewer overflows, the first thing we do is we call the area and tell them, deal with it, this is a terrible smell. Today we have a much higher conscious of hygiene than there was 50 or 20 years ago. Now, this is a very important halacha, which is every single day of the year. This is a relevant halacha, especially on fast days. It is completely, completely, completely forbidden for a Jew to stink. A Jew is not allowed to be stinky. We have to smell good, which means we are obligated to use deodorant. Why is that? Because a person who does not use deodorant, a person who has a body odor, a person who is disheveled and who is unhomely and gives off a negative attitude about him or negative smell, it is a chilul Hashem if you are a frum person wearing a kippah. Because people are going to say, oh, look at all these frum people. They're all stinky. None of them use deodorants. Now, any person who's a chassid, we have this wonderful blessing every single day. We have a daily spa. Every single day we go to our country club. We call it mikveh, but it's really a country club. There we have a shower, and we immerse ourselves in water, and after the shower, we have a good shower with good soap,
And after that, we are supposed to put on deodorant. So it is an obligation for a Jew to always smell properly. It's the same thing with brushing our teeth. A fast day is problematic. Many poskim say that on a fast day like Shivan Sar B'Tammuz, you are not allowed to brush your teeth. But today, many people find that extremely, extremely disturbing. They find it embarrassing to speak to a person when they haven't brushed their teeth. They'll put their hand over their mouth, or they'll move a bit backwards because they're embarrassed by having a negative mouth odor. Therefore, a person who feels that way, which is today, I'm assuming, the majority of the population, is allowed to brush his teeth in the morning, but with two stipulations that the Rishon LeZion, the Gaon Rabbi Yitzchak Yosef Lita, says. Stipulation number one, when you are drinking some water to wash out the toothpaste, do not drink more than 86 milliliters of water, which is a revis. Don't drink more than a revis. Make sure it's a small amount. Now, how do you know what is 86 milliliters? This cup is approximately, cups like this are between 180 and 200 milliliters. This, I'm assuming, is about 180, which means that half this cup is 90. A bit less than half this cup is 86. Make sure that you fill the cup, a third of the cup, and then you're allowed to put the water in your mouth, gurgle around, wash the toothpaste, and then spit it out. Stipulation number two, says Rabbi Yitzchak Yosef, when you do it, even though during the rest of the year you're used to lifting your head up and going, oh, don't do that on a fast day. On a fast day, keep your head down, so that even if accidentally you wanted to swallow the water, you won't. You wash your mouth, you spit it out. So one has to put on deodorant on a fast day, and one is allowed to brush your teeth in the morning with those two stipulations. Stipulation number one, which is not drinking, not putting in more than 86 milliliters of water. Stipulation number two, spitting the water out. Now we have 3 minutes left till the end of the shiur. Is Rabbi Maimon giving a shiur here today? Rabbi Shai is going to speak instead. Any questions concerning the fast? Oh, of course, the question was asked, when you wake up in the morning, do you have to do Negel Vasa? The answer is yes, you have to do Negel Vasa. You have to wash your hands.
Right. You can eat bread also.
Oh, can you eat bread in the morning? Yeah. Yes, the minute you've made that rule, you're allowed to drink, and you're allowed to eat before Alois HaShachar. Yeah. If that's what you want to do, you're allowed to eat and drink. Yes. Yes.
Can you go to Mikveh?
A very good question. On these fast days, we are only supposed to refrain from two things, that's eating and drinking. Now, the poskim say that those who can refrain from the other things, which are washing ourselves or putting different ointments on our skin, we should try and refrain from them also. Going to mikveh is completely allowed. Not only is it allowed, for those who do it every single day, it's an obligation. You're allowed to go to mikveh on a fast day. You're allowed to have a shower if it bothers you. Although, in most mikvehs in the Haredi area, you'll notice that the showers are locked. Because many people are machmir about that, but if you find that very bothering, you're allowed to go to mikveh in the morning, you're allowed to have a shower at home, or have a shower in mikveh. Now, what water should you use? If you are an Ashkenazi, you should try and use water that is lukewarm, not hot. What is lukewarm? Under 37 degrees Celsius, which is quite pleasant, especially in the summer, where most people don't mind having a shower with lukewarm water. If you are a Sfardi, you are allowed to have a shower with hot water, just like you have every single day. You don't have to fiddle around with the temperature. Yes?
If I have a mouthwash from my doctor because I have a gum problem, can I use that in the day of the fast?
Oh, the question was, now, someone who has a medical problem, who has got to, he has a special mouthwash because of a gum problem, is he allowed to use it on the fast day? Yes, you are allowed to use it on the fast day. There's no problem. Yes?
If a person needs to eat on a fast day, do they have to eat with less gazayas each time, or do they eat in a regular manner?
A question was asked here, if a person has to eat on a fast day, are there any stipulations about how much he's allowed to eat? Does he have to eat less than a kazayit, which is the weight of 27 grams, or the volume of a small matchbox here in Eretz Yisrael? The answer is absolutely not. He can eat and drink regularly, just like he eats and drinks every single day. The only time that we start playing around with the measurements is on Yom Kippur, and Bezras Hashem, before we reach Yom Kippur, we'll speak about that. How do people who are exempt of fasting, what are they supposed to do? We have more time for one last question. Anyone? Good. So let's just give another halacha. Concerning going to a makolet and buying in a grocery store on a fast day, the poskim say that a person who owns a grocery store should try and keep it closed, because we are afraid that a person who has a grocery store, people are going to go in and going to buy food on the fast day where they're not allowed to buy the food. That problem is mostly in mixed neighborhoods where there is a frum and non-frum population living together. In the frum neighborhoods, that problem doesn't exist, because all the grocery stores that open, they open to allow people to buy food for the end of the fast. And therefore, there's no problem for them to open. More so, this whole stipulation concerns people who own grocery stores. There's no problem whatsoever for us, as regular people, to walk into a grocery store and to do shopping on a fast day to buy food, either for the next day or to buy food for the end of the fast for our family. Thank you very much. Our time is up. And Be'ezras Hashem, we will next week, on Thursday, continue our regular halachas about how to behave during the morning. We might have a short change of plans and just speaking maybe a bit about the hilchos of the Bein HaMetzorim. We're going to see according to next week how we play it by ear. Thank you very much. Have a wonderful week and a good Shabbos.
Okay, nice Shabbos.